Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? And welcome back to the Nothing Show. I'm your host, Clay, and this is episode 57. Today, I am joined by my buddy, George. He was my fantasy football opponent, and we're going to be discussing our matchup, the Washington football team, and the status of some of the more competitive divisions, such as the NFC West and AFC North. So without further ado, let's get right to it. George, thank you so much for joining me.
What's going on, George? Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime. I'm happy to be here.
For sure, for sure. Welcome back. This is your, I think, third appearance on the Nothing Show. So thanks for joining me. Let's get right to our fantasy matchup. It was disastrous at the beginning. What are your thoughts on this week's matchup?
I came into this week with low expectations. Kamara being out and Montgomery being out. Kamara with a bye, Montgomery with an injury. But wow, I mean, Bolden gave me one. I benched Thielen totally impulsively, who gave me 30 off the bench. And instead I played Claypool, who gave me 3. So a lot of really poor decisions there. So definitely even lower performance than the low expectations I set. But you know what? It came down to the wire, and my team had a chance. And in the end, it was just too much time on the clock for Derrick Henry and the tight Bills kicker.
Right. Yeah, so too much time. We were both doing pretty poorly. You started off with Jalen Hurts, 25 points. And
right.
I think who was the other guy? Tampa Bay defense. And so right. You were off to like a pretty solid start, and I thought I was going to lose. And then Sunday came around and we both just did absolutely nothing. We both had a few guys put up single digit points. So we were like, all right, this is going to be decided on Monday night, because I had Derrick Henry, Emmanuel Sanders, AJ Brown, and the Bills kicker Tyler Bass, like you said. So I ended up winning by, you know, decent margin, 28 points. But I got to say, this matchup was really close. It was it was literally a 51-49% chance going into the Monday Night Football game.
You don't get many of those. And also, Hurts has really stepped up. He's been consistent. He's been a steal. I was concerned with Russell Wilson out, but he's given me consistently 20 to 25. So I'm not as concerned about my QB situation as I am with the running back situation. But I think Hurts is a fantasy stud.
Hurts is so good in fantasy, but like not that great on the field so far. I think he's got potential on the field, but like, man, he's the 5th ranked quarterback in our league right now. That's pretty incredible. Yeah. Where do you see your team going from here on out? Are you happy with your team? Do you got some guys you think are going to step up, or are you looking to make some moves?
I go back and forth. I think with my running back situation being really weak, I'm not as optimistic as I was last week. And I think I'm allowing the lowest point total in the league, if not the lowest, one of the lowest. So I've had a lot of luck to be sitting at 4-2. If I can get Montgomery back in a few weeks, maybe. But right now on the playoff bubble, I think I'm gonna have to make some deals and make some critical decisions going forward. So we'll see. I'm tentatively optimistic, but not totally optimistic.
I think you've definitely got some studs. You've got Alvin Kamara, Adam Thielen, like you said, David Montgomery, hopefully going to come off the IR sometime soon. Melvin Gordon, Terry McLaurin, Jamar Chase, Noah Fant. This isn't a bad team by any means. Right. I feel like it's a bit inconsistent. Exactly. Yeah. But you mean Jamar Chase, I really like that pick. 5th overall receiver right now. And then you just need some guys to step up. Like, you need Terry McLaurin to get you a few points, and then it really comes down to the running backs.
Yep. I think the receiver group has been so hit or miss. Terry's boomed or bust in almost every game. I'm still kicking myself for trading Cup away for Thielen. And I think you and a few other people advised me not to, but I did. Basically a swap for a few other pieces, but I got Thielen and Trevor Lawrence. And it was not an even trade, one that I lost. So, you gotta keep head up and keep moving on to the next one. But that's a mistake that I really wish I could have had back. Cause Cup has been elite and McLaurin's been nice, but he's been inconsistent. Same with Thielen and, Jamar Chase has been a real bright spot though. And so is Noah Fant, scoring touchdowns at a high rate. So he really kept me in that game. So I'm liking what I'm getting from Noah Fant. I think he was a high-value pick.
Noah Fant's been great. He scared me a lot. Yeah, you just got to roll with the punches. You know, you had a bit of a trade that didn't go your way, but you'll be back. You'll be back. No worries
I'll be back.
Any major takeaways from this week in the NFL? What did you see? Anything you noticed? Any players you liked? Any teams you liked?
I've been really optimistic about Heinicke. I think he's brought me back down to earth. And look, I'm not by no means am I attributing the Chiefs' loss to Taylor Heinicke. But I saw flashes in the Tampa Bay game and in the New York game where I was like, wow, this could be our franchise. And I think with more film on display, teams are starting to catch up, and he's looking and he's making really questionable decisions, which I get it. I mean, he's a rookie. He's 28, but he is a rookie. So I'm not ready to say put Allen in yet, but I do think he's more of a really good backup than he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. That was my main takeaway from this week. Aside from the skin second, confirming what we already really knew about the skin secondary.
Washington's quarterback situation, obviously a little bit weaker than many were expecting going into the season. Ryan Fitzpatrick he only played for like half a game, but in that half game, he did not look great. Heinicke stepped up for a little bit, and now we're seeing his play get a little worse. What are your thoughts on the Tua rumors that have started today? You know, there's rumors that there's a three-team trade going on between the Dolphins, Texans, and Washington football team, in which the Dolphins will get Deshaun Watson and the Washington football team will get Tua.
Look, I love the idea of two second-year players competing. I'm really high on that. And I think if we land Tua to go in there, compete with Heinicke, win the job out ultimately. But I think it'd be great to have two young quarterbacks in the room who have potential and to figure this thing out together under the guidance of Fitzpatrick. So I know there are some questions about his arm strength and his arm talent, but I'd love to get a young piece like Tua. He's a project, but when you look at the draft, is there anyone we'd really want to tank for? Besides Caleb Williams down the road. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's an obvious long-term fix coming up in the draft anytime soon. And I think Tua might be the best solution. So I'd be thrilled, honestly, with the Tua trade. And I know a lot of people wouldn't be, but I'm team Tua right now.
The Tua trade excites me, not because I think he's a great quarterback, but just because I feel like this Washington football team needs a little bit of a spark. You know, they've been boring. Yeah. They've been unenergetic. They've been really bad, frankly. Why do you think this team has been so bad?
Well, I think defensively it's an anomaly, because when you add pieces like William Jackson, who was supposed to be our lockdown quarterback, and he really showed up week one. At least for a few, there were a few defensive plays that are like, wow, this guy's locked down. He had an interception, of course. He had some nice one-on-ones against Mike Williams, but he's been very inconsistent. It just seems to be a pattern of miscommunication in the secondary, where Jackson will get burned thinking he's passing it off to the safety. We saw that with the Slayton play against New York. But the defensive line is getting heat when I don't think it should. I mean, it's for the most part almost lived up to the hype when you look at the metrics of pressures and PFF. But I think teams are getting the ball out quick. They're testing the secondary and they're seeing the vulnerabilities. We knew this wasn't going to be a team built to win shootouts, but when we're putting ourselves at behind defensively, there's not a whole lot we can do with Heinicke. So I don't know. I think the quarterback situation is an obvious flaw. The secondary is an obvious flaw. But I really thought, man, this defense was going to be better than it was last year. I thought it was going to be top three defense when you just look at the front. Obviously, Bostic being out, it hurts. And maybe in the long run, it'll be good to get Jamin Davis some linebacker reps. But it really is an anomaly how this secondary got so much worse in 1 year. And the play calling also has been really suspect. The amount of offensive screenplays that Turner called, that third down and two, in a situation where if you don't get any yardage, you go for it, to throw a pass behind the line really puzzled me. The screens weren't working. So I don't know. I think it comes down to coaching on both sides of the ball, really.
Is this team still in the hunt for the playoffs, or are you borderline calling it quits on this season?
I'm ready to call it quits. And as such an optimistic fan, I hate to say it, but Dallas looks really good. And what gives me hope, some hope, is that bizarre schedule that we have this year, where I think we have five divisional games to end the season. So if we really turn up and put ourselves in a position where we run the table in those last five games, that's really the only statistical avenue we make the playoffs. But man, just looking ahead at our schedule, it's not getting any easier. Brady, Rodgers next week. Winning the division has its downsides because we have to play all the big dogs this year. So I'm concerned looking ahead at our schedule regarding the matchups, the out of conference matchups, and Dallas has been everything that Cowboys fans have said they would be this year. So I don't think we're a playoff team yet. I'm not ready to tank. I'll never support tanking. Especially with the draft class where no one jumps out to you as the clear and all savior for this franchise. But I'm ready to call it quits on the playoff talk so far.
Do you think that Dallas is as good as they're fabled to be?
Yes. Yep. I had my reservations about Dak being 1-4 or 1-3 before the injury, but he's so familiar with this offense at this point, and Zeke really being productive, and that defense stepping up. Trayvon Diggs, I agree with the point that you made that he's the slander against Trayvon Diggs does need to stop. When he's one-on-one with these receivers, he's putting up elite numbers and getting takeaways. And they're winning all sorts of games. They're winning with their defense, but they're also winning shootouts. So I think Dallas is everything it's hyped up to be. Do I think they're going to make a run in the playoffs? Do I think they're going to get to the Super Bowl? No, I'm still of the opinion it's Dallas. It's not going to happen. They're an accident waiting to happen. But they will represent the NFC East this year. And they have a chance to make some noise if they can reverse the curses of the past few years. But I am high on Dallas.
I agree. I think this Dallas Cowboys team is really strong. Particularly, they feel really young and explosive. I know that they've got some veterans, but it just feels like the young guys like CeeDee Lamb, like Trayvon Diggs, are really stepping up and making this mm-hmm. difference, you know, from a team that was 1-4 before Dak's injuries to now a team that's running away with the division and borderline, you know, maybe a top six, seven team in the NFL. I really mm-hmm. like this team, and I think they built it well. Who do you think is the best team in the NFL?
I've always been I wouldn't say a Brady hater, but to some extent, yes, a Brady hater. When you look at the arm strength, not quite there. The mobility, certainly not there. And I still don't think he's a top five quarterback. But I think in the system, with the weapons that he has, with his experience, with his quick decision making, given all the receivers and Fournette, and then a beyond formidable defense. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and again, that's not a hot take, but I just don't see how you stop them, really. They are my Super Bowl favorites. I think they're America's Super Bowl favorites. I'd say Tampa Bay followed in close second by Baltimore. And again, I know those aren't crazy takes, but Baltimore is a team that's in every game they play. And you can't count them out. You can't count Lamar out at any point in any game because of how explosive he is. So those aren't crazy takes. But for me, it's Tampa Bay and a close second Baltimore.
I really like those picks. I think that the Bucs are the Super Bowl favorites right now. With that being said, I don't think they're the best team in the NFL. I think that goes to the Cardinals at this moment. I think that they are the mm-hmm. best team. If anyone played them, I think I'd pick them to win against anyone else. But they feel like a really big regular season team to me. I spoke with Zach right. a little bit about this last week. You know, some of these guys aren't going to last the whole season. It's going to slow down. They can't stay red hot like this the entire season. Mm-hmm. And the more veteran teams like the Bucks and the Ravens, like you said, are going to come up big. And with that being said, who do you think is the NFC West favorite? You know, you've got the Rams, you've got the Cardinals, less so the Seahawks and 49ers. But, you know, I think this is mainly between the Rams and the Cardinals. I'm taking the Rams personally, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I'm going to go with Arizona. I think it's that year for Kyler Murray. He has enough experience in the regular season under his belt. Do I think this is a team that's that can win the NFC Championship? No. But I do think, considering sort of the trajectory of Murray's season and sort of how dominant they were at stretches against a really good Cleveland Browns team. The Browns are a team that I think has a chance to make the AFC Championship. I think they're that good. To go into Cleveland and did what they and do what they did really jumped out to me, and I forced me to take this team seriously. So I'm rolling with the Cardinals on that one.
You spoke about the Browns. The AFC North is probably the other division that's really up in the air. You've got a bunch of strong teams. Surprisingly, right. The Bengals. Steelers, right. Not very much so, but you've got the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens, which are two of the league's premier teams. How do you see that division shaking out?
Well, ultimately, I think Baltimore is going to win it, but I think it's going to be close. And I think Cleveland's going to get a wild card spot. Look, it's hard to bet against that rushing attack for Cleveland. And I think most people would agree with me. Especially with that secondary, that's got a lot of young pieces, but if they can lock in, it's a scary team. It's hard to stop when you have weapons literally at every position and a pretty decent offensive line. Combine that with a quarterback who now I think we can call Baker Mayfield a young veteran. And I don't know. I ultimately think Baltimore is just too explosive. And it's going to come down to who wins those head-to-head games, which I like Baltimore in. But I think it's going to be a close second for Cleveland. I think Cincinnati needs a few more years to put the pieces together. I really like Burrow. But I think they're more of a regular season team. They don't have quite enough experience yet from their core positions to pull it off. And it's such a competitive division. But I really like Cleveland. I think Baltimore's ultimately going to win, but I like Cleveland winning a wild card spot.
Yeah, the Browns are kind of the new kids on the block, and the Ravens are definitely the more seasoned team here. I liked the Browns here, but man, their injuries are really just killing them. You know, they've got Nick Chubb out, Kareem Hunt out. Baker Mayfield's out. I think that they'll probably lose this week. I mean, they're playing a bad team, right. but it's just so hard to pick a team that's has so many injuries. I think they have 16 players that were either out or limited today at practice. So it's a disaster in Cleveland right now, but that's not going to last the whole season. You know, guys will get healthy. Sure. They'll figure things out and they'll be good. The Ravens feel top heavy. They've got a bunch of really strong players, but then not so much depth. So we'll see how the Ravens play out. Unfortunately, you know, one injury to a star player and they're looking right. So it's close. I think that you're right to say that the Ravens are favorited, but it's definitely close. Any last thoughts on anything going around the NFL? Any hot takes or games you're excited for this weekend? Anything?
Hot takes. Wow, let's see. Well, and again, this isn't a hot take, but I know this. We discussed this at NFL Club. I think Derrick Henry is going to go down as a top two, not two, running back in NFL history. And it's one of those things where, thank goodness, there was a short ESPN series about this before kickoff last week. Thank goodness the high school coach played him at running back instead of throwing him at an offensive tackle position, because that's what most kids at that weight, that's where they end up. Someone with that speed and that size has no business on the offensive line. When you think about the agility, he's so unique, right? He can beat you with just power. We know that, but he's also so agile. And he's so consistent. To do it at that consistency when every team you play knows what the game plan is just get the ball to Derrick Henry, get out of the way. And to still be able to produce week in and week out at such a high level and really elevate a team to take them to the AFC Championship is something that does not get talked about enough. So I think Derrick Henry, when it's all said and done, and I know he's got a lot of football left, first ballot Hall of Famer, obviously, I think we can agree, but I think he's going to be considered the greatest running back of all time, if not one of the greatest running backs of all time, at least top three.
Love that. Like you said, you know what the game plan is. You know how good Derrick Henry is. And still, week after week, we're still surprised when he puts up 150 yards and three touchdowns, 30, 35 fantasy points. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to just appreciate what I'm seeing because it's easy to be like, wow, yeah, this is normal. He's rushing for these insane games on Monday Night Football and beating the number one ranked Bills. It's so much fun to watch. And like you said, I think when it's all said and done, we're looking at number one overall running back of all time.
I'm with you. Amen.
All right, George. I want to thank you so much for joining me. This was a ton of fun. Yeah, good luck. Good luck to the Washington football team.
Oh, yeah. See ya.
All right, everyone. Well, that does it for this episode of The Nothing Show. I want to thank you all so much for listening, and I want to thank George for joining me. This episode was a lot of fun to make. It was based on week 6 of the NFL. So next episode, episode 58, is going to be based on week 7. I'm going to have another one of my buddies from my fantasy league joining me, so look forward to that. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and thank you for the support here and on my Instagram. I really appreciate it. And this is Clay for The Nothing Show, signing out, and I will see you all next week. Bye.